And it's time for Gordo's Corner, brought to us by CrestCars.com.
Thank you so much, Miller Man. This today, there's a column in the Dallas Morning News that I wrote. And it's about, Giorgio, you read it, or at least you glanced at it, so we can talk about
it.
This.
No, it's good.
This subject. Because I have a very weird habit. Do you want to guess what that is, Craig? Insert joke. Cue Craig for joke.
It's the thing that you do daily and the reason why you had your ribs removed.
I'm sorry. What are you even referencing? Because this is your big deal. You've apparently learned something recently about having ribs removed.
It's what you do daily. And it's the reason that you had that extensive and complicated surgery.
Complicated?
So that you could contort yourself in order to please yourself.
Oh my gosh. What's wrong with y'all?
Anyway, check out the Dallas Morning News. It's on the editorial page. And it's about this weird habit that I have of if I go to an estate sale, sometimes a garage sale, several times secondhand bookshops have done this, is that I have a tendency of that I have to buy old yearbooks. If I pass that section and I go by and I'll see an old high school yearbook,
preferably pre-1960,
yeah, that I end up buying these things.
You know, I think these are really interesting, and I think it's interesting you wrote about this, because the other day when you had one out at Top Pot, I think it was, and I picked it up and flipped through it.
Yeah.
It was this one,
It was this one that I wrote about today,
And I was fascinated, too, looking through this.
What school was it?
This was Central High School in Jackson, Mississippi. I didn't buy it in Jackson or anything. I found it at a secondhand bookstore here, I believe. And I bought this. It's 1939. And you glance through it, and they just really work on me somehow. They really start gnawing at me, and I start looking at all these people and looking at the most likely to succeed and the most beautiful and the kind of meek-looking sophomores that are in it. And I get drawn in wondering what happened to all these people. And the one that I bought at this secondhand bookstore belonged to a girl named Thelma Thompson. And all throughout the yearbook, there's all these inscriptions to her from these friends of hers.
Have a swell summer.
Yeah, have a swell summer. Swell was used a lot in the little inscriptions to her. And it just got me so curious about this woman's life. And I only have 800 words or so in here to talk about this evening after I buy this. And I basically sit down through the evening and I go through this yearbook, and I go by starting from the front, page by page, looking at this snapshot of life from 1939 and this little bit of armchair time traveling that I can do by looking through these yearbooks and reading what all these girls, this girl's friends said about her and wondering what, you know, becomes of her life.
And I think it's really interesting before you get to the when you start thinking about your own life and how time passes and all that. But, yeah, just like what life was like in 1939. What was important to them,
mm-hmm.
what the schools looked like, the fashion, everything, the hairstyles,
you have
all
that
stuff.
You have that rumbling storm cloud of war over there in Europe.
Yeah.
That's
starting
to build.
Those guys were about to go serve, and they didn't even know it.
Yeah, and they didn't even know it. And what's strange is, and I'm still researching, trying to find what happened to this girl, because I looked and looked and could not find what happened to her.
Good chance she's no longer alive.
Yeah, there's a good chance that most of those people are no longer alive.
That's what creeped me out the most, and what I said to you. I said, the weird thing to me is looking at these kids, 99% of them are gone
mm-hmm.
now.
It's a book of dead people.
Yeah.
And you're looking at them in the real physical prime of their lives, you know, as they're just starting the physical prime of their lives, is they just a sea of black-headed, you know, smiling teenagers. And they all have these cute little quotes out by the side of them that describe their personality, and they're vivacious. And you know, also, the column is about how when you're young, you really do have, you know, it's that old saying that death is just a rumor to the young. It's still very unconfirmed. And you, even though there's old people in the world, you know they're going to die. But you really think that somehow you're the exception to it, or, you know, we'll figure out the mortality thing by the time I get there. I just have so many years before I even have to worry about it. And you feel a real separation from the humanity from older people. Not all kids, but I certainly did. You know, when I was really young, I didn't look at old people as the unique individual that they were. You know, they didn't seem as uniquely individualistic as people my age, my friends. They had just all kind of grown into this gray mass. They had all kind of converged into just a bunch of stereotypes and jokes that we make about old people. And then you get a yearbook like this and you realize, well, that was you. They were once you, and you hopefully are going to be them one day. And that's the best you can hope for, is to grow old and lead a long, happy life. But you can't get out of it. The old, no one gets out of here alive. Yeah. And I used to feel kind of sorry, man, it sucks that those people were born in, in this case, 1923, somewhere around there, class of 39, and 1921 to 23, seniors and sophomores. And, you know, they were born then, and I used to feel kind of sorry for people who were born well before us. God, that sucks. They didn't have this, and they didn't have this, and life was so different, and our lives, they couldn't even identify with our lives and everything. I had this sneaking suspicion that I think only really cosmetically human life changes. I still think that love and death and loss and longing and dissatisfaction and satisfaction, that those things are built into our architecture, and it's ridiculous to think that in two generations that we've rearranged our DNA so much. I think that the human experience is relatively the same, other than cosmetically, from generation to generation, you know, throughout the span of I would say, hundreds of years. And for the arrogance that I would feel when I was younger, I'm still relatively young, I guess. An 8-year-old would say that, right? That I was young. But when I was younger, you know, I thought that, wow, there was such a big difference in someone who was 10 years older than me. Someone who was 12 years older than me. You know, I felt a certain sense of superiority over that person because I gained 12 years on them. And then when I start thinking about it, and you zoom out a little bit, and from the vantage point of the big eye in the sky who's starting to look at the human timeline, for me to think that I don't occupy the same speck of time as my great-great-grandfather is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Or my grandfather or my father. We look like we are right on top of each other on the timeline.
Wow.
It's not that much different. And it's pretty, it's fairly short.
That's what always jumps out about me, about when I looked at that yearbook from 1939, I thought, at that moment, all of those kids, they thought, man, this is going to last forever. And now, the few that are alive would probably pick up that yearbook and say, man, that went fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes so much faster. People older than me always told me it's going to go really fast. Mm-hmm. And I never really understood that because the school day when I was in sixth grade went so slow.
Yeah. Yeah, your experience of time is so coffee drip slow.
But now when I think we've been at the ticket for 21 years,
yeah,
that is
crazy.
Flown by.
Yeah, I was younger, I think, when the ticket started than we've been on the air since.
And pretty soon we're going to be gone, not just from the ticket, but we'll be gone from this earth. And on our deathbed, we'll probably think, man, that went fast.
That's why I told you about that Wade Bowen song a couple of weeks ago, West Texas Rain. He makes that comparison that time comes and goes as quickly as a West Texas storm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great song about how it just, you know, he's got shoebox full of memories, you know. And when you start having kids, and that's the thing, when those kids, when they were kids in high school, as Junior said, you think it's going to last forever. When you're a young parent, you think, these kids, you know, this, you can't see the end, you know. It's just like, man, I'm going to be a parent of young kids forever. Now I've only got one at home, and we're going to be empty nesters here in 4 years. Kids mark the passage of time in a whole new way.
Because they change so quickly while you kind of stay the same.
Yeah.
And you see them grow up quickly.
Yeah. And it's interesting you have those time discussions with them and kind of flying over their head.
I think it's
hard for them to comprehend.
It's designed to fly over the head of the young.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're young, you're supposed to not think about mortality. You're supposed to think you last forever. And you're supposed to think that your energy is endless. That's what causes innovation. That's what causes kids to try something that's been tried 100 times before and no one succeeded. They think that they're the exception.
Yeah.
And we tend to apply that exceptional kind of thinking to things like mortality. You know, it's one and the same. The thing that was sad about, or bittersweet about reading these inscriptions to Thelma Thompson in this yearbook is that I remembered, I still have all of my yearbooks. I was a yearbook person. I think some people don't care about them. I cared about mine. I still have them all sitting on my shelf. And I think about all the hours I spent procuring the signatures of that particular girl and, you know, this friend from this class and so on. And these were all like these early personal endorsements I was getting on my campaign of life, my focused campaign. And I could never imagine getting rid of one of those yearbooks. And chances are Thelma didn't get rid of hers. You know, hers was probably
thrown out in some garage sale.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably the part of the haul of the leftover stuff from the yard sale.
Yeah.
You know, that, I mean, it didn't sell, and so it got taken to the used bookstore. And, you know, those yard sales, and I've had so many experience with those. Those are the sales where, I remember writing this, I don't know if it made it in the column, you know, those are the sales where Thelma's mid-century couch, it sold. But her shower chair and all that stuff, that didn't sell.
Yeah.
You know? That was given away to Goodwill.
Boy, wouldn't you love to have your grandparents' yearbook? Maybe you do. I don't. I don't have my grandparents' or my parents' yearbooks, and I wish I did. And looking back at those yearbooks, they were so much better back then than they were when I was in school. I don't really know, and they're okay now, but, man, they did a great job of capturing what life was like in high school in 1939 or... my wife recently got me yearbooks called the Yucca. That's what it used to be called in North Texas from the 50s.
Really?
Yeah, and it's I spend hours looking at those just to see what life was like at our school back in the 50s and 60s.
So did you ever find out what happened to Thelma?
No, I never did. I did a lot of hours of trying to find her, track her down.
Not any trace of her?
No, it evaporated. And one of the problems there is you're dealing with a female.
And, changed her name.
And yeah, if you get married, then the trail goes cold. You know, she would appear in the 1930 census and the 1940 census. However, I wasn't able to definitively say, okay, well, that's her in the 30 census or that's her in the 40 census. I even, you know, the class president that year in 1939 at Central High School in Jackson was a guy named Hall Tackett. Hall Tackett was his name.
That's
an unusual name. Yeah. You'd think you'd be able to find him.
Cool name.
I couldn't even find him in census. I found him in two city directories much later on when it was like 1943, 1942, 1943, somewhere in there. So he would have been, how old then? 20-something?
Early 30s, maybe?
Yeah.
40s? Oh, no, 43, you said?
Yeah, I think it was 40.
So early 20s.
It was either 43 or 53. I can't remember. And he was just listed as a student.
In Jackson?
Yeah, in Jackson, too. And then he disappears, and I can't find him anywhere in the country. So I would have to do more digging to find out, you know, I mean, what happened to that class of 39? Who was the most successful out of all that? Who turned out to be the murderer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Who turned out to be the rich guy? I don't know. But we're all a class of 39 every year. After every year, Earth keeps churning them out, you know you're just one of those years, and just because you're young, your year isn't any more valid than the class of 1939.
That's not right, man. Seniors of 83 rule, man.
Yeah, and hey, I guarantee you, the seniors of 2014, you know, they feel like they're in a catbird seat, but once you zoom out on human existence, there's no catbird seat. There's just now.
Wouldn't you love it if somehow this column gets back to her and 97-year-old Thelma?
Yeah, what if she's still alive?
It reads this and reaches out to you.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, check it out. It's in the Dallas Morning News today. And I also have tweeted a link to it, so you can get to it by going to my Twitter feed. My name is Gordon Keith on Twitter.
All right, Gordo, thank you.
Yes,
good column.